Zechariah chapter 3, verse 5. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. This chapter began with Satan standing at God's own right hand to accuse Joshua, and so us, clothed in our filthy guilt. Satan serves up a banquet for us that we desire. The tasty appetizers of self-pity, lust, the crisp, crunchy salad of making fun of other people, the well-seasoned entree of my pleasure, the sweet wine of my success, and that delectable dessert of manipulating other people to what I want. And then Satan brings us a bill, a humongous bill we can never pay. And yet, you know, the further this world spirals down into Sodom and Gomorrah, the more easily we look at all the evil in the world and we think, thank you, God, that I'm not like those people. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. How often are we like that Pharisee? Thinking, I'm saved because I'm better than those people. But Proverbs 16 warns us, all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. What about it? Isn't that self-justification itself a violation of God's holy will? And how many ways don't we recognize our own sin? You know, when we have tasted the heavenly banquet and yet return to the rotten remains of Satan's banquet, isn't that a shaming of God's grace? Each of us knows the depravity of thought that enters our mind, the selfishness of purpose that affects our actions, the pride of life that motivates our being. Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? When somebody asks us, what's wrong with the world? We may then come up with quite a list, but doesn't it really boil down to two words? I am. And yet, do you remember 1 Timothy chapter 1? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Take note then of the words right before our text. The angel of the Lord, that's Christ, answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to Joshua, and so to us, he said, see, I have removed your iniquity. I will clothe you in rich robes. The glory of Christ's justifying grace leads the prophet then, and thus should lead us, to eagerly pray in our text, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him. And what do we hear next? And the angel of the Lord stood by. Christ is moving his people to pray that each one of us would adorn our heads whether it's with a physical turban, doesn't matter. Adorn our heads with the atonement of Christ, our whole lives, to live, each one of us, to the glory of our Father, to pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Christ is standing by to bless immediately every such prayer and effort. How zealous he is. And he wants us to be. To encourage one another to be clothed in Christ's works. Our life of sanctification is in fact so desired by God's loving will that he not only commands it, but he promises every blessing on our obedience. Listen to the verses following our text. Then the angel of the Lord testified to Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my commandments, then you will also judge my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree." The fullness of Christ's forgiveness is such that we who are sinners have direct access to the Lord. His courts, his paradisical blessing, his peaceful security. Under the shadow of Christ's atonement, we're shielded from the scorching curse of the law. Clothed in his grace, we walk in his commandments. Yes, our failures in sanctification continue to give Satan all kinds of ammunition to hurl against us. But God's loving will not only commands, not only promises blessing on obedience, he also promises the means to create that obedience. Listen to the next verses. "Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day." Did you understand the significance of those words? All of the believers around you here this morning, companions in Christ, are that sign of God's power to save. The stone laid at Joshua's feet is probably the cornerstone of the temple they'd begun to build. The Holy Spirit was working in their midst, as he is in yours, to bring forth fruits that are pleasing to God. With what? Seven eyes. Seeing all to establish Christ's church. By doing what? Proclaiming the message of the branch. Jesus is the branch who alone brings forth fruits that are pleasing to God. Jesus is that branch who in one day bought the forgiveness of all your sins to save your soul and to create within you those fruits of faith that are well-pleasing to the Lord. This chapter begins with us clothed in filth, accused by Satan, but it ends clothed in Christ. Equipped with all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 342, stanzas 1 and 2.